Hey, what's up? It's Avery here. Well, I guess who else would it be? It is my own show. You see, my show is on platforms like iTunes and Spotify, and you may wonder, how do I get my show on these platforms? Well, I do it through an app called Anchor. It's free to download, and you can use it on your phone or on your laptop. And it also comes with creation tools that let you edit your show. You can also make that sweet moolah with your podcast with no minimum listenership. So, want to get started? Download the Anchor app on the Google Play Store or Apple's App Store, or go to anchor.fm. It's that easy. Ladies and gentlemen, what is up? What is up? What is up? Welcome back to Avery Sports Show. And those of you who know the show know I'm someone who loves to cover sports from all angles. But you know what? Sometimes there's more than just the score. There's more than just the post-game content. There's so many stories behind what goes on in the world of sports. And in Edmonton, two young, dashing gentlemen have created a sports website that's been covering way more than just the sports stories. They've interviewed names in media and sports. They've interviewed Jim Principe, Fernando Pisani. They've gone around the Eskimos locker room, and they're doing their own series on the Eskimos. So I want to welcome these founders of the PeopleOfSport.com, Rodvi Barnachea and Dylan Wee. Guys, how you doing today? Welcome to Avery Sports Show.
That was a good introduction. We're good. I really like that.
Thanks for the introduction.
Well, of course, guys.
We're doing good. How are you, man?
I'm doing well. And, you know, you're privileged. You're in my home doing Avery Sports Show.
We are.
Only a select few get to come down to the palace of Avery.
This is amazing. It was very hard to find.
Yeah.
What do you mean hard?
Yeah, but thanks for inviting us.
Thanks for inviting us to your home.
No, of course, guys.
We appreciate it.
No, absolutely. So first thing I want to ask you guys, how did you guys get into sports media? How did you guys get into founding the People of Sport, which is, like I mentioned, a great website covering sports from all different angles with different athletes and media members in the city and in Alberta?
So the thing with me is that I was actually at a conference in Kingston.
Okay.
And it was a sports conference. And after going to that, I actually listened to one of the speakers who said, his name was Steve Jordan. He said when he was 12, he knew he couldn't play, but then he knew that instead of that, he would just write. And then I came up to him after, I was like, hey, Steve, my name is Rodvi. When I was 10, I knew I couldn't play because I was too short. But that's when I knew I wanted to write too. And I said, I think I came all the way to this conference in Kingston just to meet you today.
Wow.
And then we talked about sports. You know, after that, he shook my hand and we started talking about sports after that. And then I think when I got back to Edmonton, I think a couple of days later, I decided that I wanted to go back into writing for sports because I did a little bit of work for the Golden Bears. But then there were some complications with me getting back into that. So I started the People of Sports in the sense that the only person that can say no to me is me. And that's when I started with that angle. And with me, I think doing this type of thing, there's a sense of curiosity. Mm-hmm. In the sense that me, I'm a people person. And I always love to get to know people. And in the sense of combining sports and that natural sense of how I am, putting the People of Sports together with that and combining those two is why I started the People of Sports. And that's why we're here today. And Dylan has been a long time friend of mine, and then I brought him aboard, and he's my right-hand man, and then that's where we are right now, and everything has led us here to the Palace of Avery.
So. Yeah, it has. So I'll ask you guys, why do you guys want to get more into the feature side of things? Because I know in sports media, everybody's so obsessed with covering sports from the angle of player X did this, that, and the third, talking about the game, and then that story. Why do you want to get into more of the feature stories where you're talking to a player about their family lives or their journeys, into, as opposed to just, you know, this guy scored 25 points, here's my story, here's my take on the game. And
I think with sports, especially with the games, things happen too fast. I think we forget to know, like, how people got there in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And how, for example, there were so many firsts for the Eskimos. For example, like Jordan Hoover getting his first interception, first sack. Other people, for example, Nick Usher coming in and getting his first sack and talking to them about that. Even in the beginning of this, when we were talking earlier, like, everything leads to one moment. And I think in those types of moments, why I love doing the feature stories is, in the first place, yes, you're here, But how did you get here? So that's why the feature stories are the main things that we focus on usually.
That's awesome. I know for you two guys, we're all guys, I believe, in our mid-20s or whatever. Like, what has it been like being in the Eskimo Dog Press Box? Because we're younger ones, and that is a room in which it's mainly reporters in their 30s, 40s, 50s. What's it like for yourself being in there in a press box in which you're covering a pro sports team at a relatively young age for both of you guys?
Yeah, I can talk about that. The first time I went into the Oilers locker room, Eskimos locker room.
Yes.
And plus the press box, it was pretty intimidating because there were, like, a senior veteran media people there, and we were new. But after, like, the first time, and after we would go there more and more, it became less intimidating as they, like, the people we interview, they were just people doing their jobs, right? So, but because we're so young, that I feel like that brings a new perspective in the sports talk and such, and media in general. So, you know, I like being unique. So this is a way that we can make ourselves unique.
Of course, with uniqueness, I know I heard this stuff about with Gene Principe and Quinn Phillips, and there's stuff I've known Gene, Quinn, and Gregor for years and years. This has been there that I didn't know about them. And now, what's like bringing out the stuff about those kind of people where they're so used to having a microphone in their hands, profiling people? What's like turn the microphone on them and profile them when they're known for interviewing people? Like,
I think it was awesome when they would share the stories on their own social media.
Mm-hmm.
They would always have this like similar message, as in, it was weird different being on the other side.
Yes.
And I think with that, was yours your question about getting to know them? Or I think the big thing is that's the thing. Like, nobody asked them, how did they get there? I think they're the storytellers. But, like, eventually you ask them, for example, like, you know what, after all the people that you've spoken to, who's been your favorite interview? Out of all the stories that you've done, what was your favorite one to do? Stuff like that. So I think with them, with their experience of being... I've listened to storytellers. I think them being on the other side has also a impactful story with that. So I think that's why I also wanted to talk to them, because with their whole lives as well, not because they're just athletes, but they're also people in sports as well, being media. So absolutely. That's why I love talking to them as well. And they were very open. All three of them, Gregor, Principe, and Quinn, they were all very open. And it's pretty amazing how people can share stories like that to us.
Of course, I saw. I know G mentioned he used to be in Toronto and he interviewed Michael Jordan. If either of you put yourselves in your shoes 25 years ago, you're Gene. If Michael Jordan's walking towards you for interview, what would you guys have done?
Try to do my best in interviewing. I'd be nervous. But then again,
camera shaking a little bit.
But yeah. You know, they're just people.
I think, that's the thing. Like,
fair enough.
When we do this, like, you just have to remember they're people too, right?
Yes. And they bleed, they sweat, they eat.
They go home and they go after, you know, that's their job. Like, we cover the games and then their job is to play the games. And then at the end of the day, we all go home, we all go to sleep, and then they go to practice. And then sometimes we go to practice with them too. And then we talk to them, and that's how it is, right?
And what I love is that in sports Edmonton, people are so, in a way, they're so centered around, okay, we want to cover the Oilers, the Eskimos. What I like with the site is that you guys are covering high school athletes, university athletes. Mm-hmm. And sometimes in sports in this country, university athletes get kind of lost in shuffle. So the fact you guys are also covering U of A has been great to make sure they get their shine too as well on the website.
Yeah.
And I think with that as well, everybody has a story, right?
Mm.
And even though, like, university athletes, they're going through school. And when you ask them, you know, like, after school, after your career, like, what's next for you? I think with that, with how everybody has a story, I think everybody deserves to be listened to, and then that's why you also focus on the university in the beginning of that as well.
That's awesome. And now for your future goals, you see yourselves maybe taking this site to covering athletes in not just Alberta, but maybe covering athletes out in, say, British Columbia or Ontario or wherever else, because what you guys are doing right now, this can be expanded to something that could be eventually a global thing, I feel in my mind, because not enough places that try and profile the athletes outside the game and where you guys are doing it right now on this website.
We've also done, for example, Cher Bernard, the skip for the 2010 Team Canada
Olympian.
We drove down to Calgary to see her as well. And yeah, I think the vision with that is to make it global eventually. But of course, we have to build that foundation with what we have right now.
Yeah.
And that's going to take some time, and we get that. But I think knowing with that vision, I think that's what keeps you going and doing this, and having that that natural curiosity of getting to know people, and why, at the end of the day, why you're doing this is because you love it too. So
of course, absolutely, guys. No one asked you. You know, these are the Kirby Eskimos, and you guys are in a year in which I've Kirby Eskimos for 10 years now, and I've seen the highs, I've seen the cup victories, yeah. I've seen a 4-14 season. So what's been your impression been so far covering Tina? Right now, it's in a little bit of an issue losing 3 straight games, and now Trevor Harris is out for tonight's ball game at quarterback.
I think the thing that's different, I think with any organization, for example, is the people. And yes, we've been new with covering the team.
Mm-hmm.
But something that resonates with me with knowing, getting to know these players is that they're all nice. They're like genuinely nice guys.
Yes.
Like sometimes after the camera's cut off, we like start talking just about like daily lives or like
random stuff.
Random things. Yeah. And it's like you become like not only like media for them, but at the end of the day, you become friends.
It's true.
And with the struggles, I think, like, nothing is a smooth ride.
No.
Yeah.
And injuries do happen, and it's just, like, next man up. And I think with what they have right now, they do have that foundation. I was telling Dylan, I think, like, this is a pretty good team because, of course, this is my first year covering the team, but this isn't my first year watching the team. Mm-hmm. I've also been a fan. So with that, I think they do have the talent, but I think they just got to get out of this little rut here, and then anything can happen when you get into the playoffs.
Yeah, I think like when you lose, you learn from your mistakes, right? Mm-hmm. So just like how the Oilers in the preseason right now, they lost like what their last two games.
Yeah, lost 6-1 to Winnipeg last night.
Yeah. So
Vancouver, sorry.
Yeah, Vancouver. So you know, it's better to lose in the preseason and then learn from your mistakes than
absolutely
to lose. So right now, yeah, that's the Eskimos. I feel like right now they're learning from their mistakes and getting better. So, you know, here comes the Grey Cup.
We'll see. Hopefully. I mean, that'll be nice to see. You guys mentioned, you know, players being people. And, you know, one thing that a lot of media members kind of forget that these guys have an interest outside of football. Because for years, I know Cal McCarthy for years, and we bonded over the NBA. Calvin's a huge basketball guy. We're not talking football, we're talking about the Lakers and Kawhi and stuff like that. And it's a great point that media members should be, like younger journalists, should be looking at the fact that, hey, these guys, like they may want to talk about, you know, John Wick for a second, or what's happening of playing Fortnite. Because these guys have more interest than just putting a helmet on, putting pads on, and getting hit for an hour.
Yeah,
especially, for example, I remember one of these interviews that we did when we were in the locker room. This was like right after the Raptors had won.
Yes.
And I was interviewing, we were interviewing Tavon Smith. And then in the back there, Nate Ajay, he's holding up a Raptors flag.
I saw that one.
And then after that, you know, when we interviewed Nate, like I think a couple weeks after, we were talking about that with him. It didn't end up on social media, but there's a deleted scene, I guess, of us talking about the Raptors and talking about that. But I think not just like with opening up, but I think people get to know you when you talk about to them more than just their jobs.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I bet, like, this is their passion, but they're more than just people that put on the helmets and get hit for an hour, as you said, right? And I think, for example, there's other things that get them going. For example, them having kids. Like, Nate just had another child, and Mike just had another child as well. I think when you get to talk to them about that and you just say, like, you know, how are the kids? Like,
exactly.
How's your wife or stuff like that? I think they appreciate that because it actually shows that you care.
It's true.
And it's not like I'm just trying to do that just to like talk about it, but I honestly want to know like hey man, like how's it going at home? Like how are you feeling? Like how's it being away and stuff like that?
Of course. I think too, I mentioned being young. I think too, to a certain extent for an athlete, they can't really relate to certain things with a reporter who say is in their 70s or 80s or 40s or 50s. To oppose the three of us who are in our 20s. We're the same age as most of these guys. We can relate to more things than, say, a reporter who's been in the game for 40 years talking to someone who's 21, 22.
Mm-hmm. And with that, like, for example, with athletes, they have their ups and downs. And I think with us, too, like, there's sometimes ups and downs with what we do. In the sense that, you know, you get audio issues, you get cropping issues, stuff like that. And I've had nights, for example, where I've had like an hour of sleep, and you know, like I'm not complaining, but that's just how it is. And I think we can relate to them with that because they're going through their growing pains as well, and their careers are not done, and they're trying to get their foundations as well, and getting a name for themselves and in the league or wherever they are. And that's what we're doing too in this industry, is that we're trying to get our feet wet. We're also trying to build our foundation. We're trying to get our names out there. So I think that's where we get those similarities with these athletes.
Of course. You mentioned issues. I remember a couple of years ago when I was with Nate, I had to do a story on CJ Gable and the Eskimos. And running back, wasn't CJ. Either way, point being, I had to carry this camera down to Commonwealth. 25-pound camera. Wow, it was snowing. It's snowing by now. It was October 2012. Mm-hmm. I'm down there. I'm carrying around a camera, gear, tripod, right onto my shoulder. And after all that, the camera's shaking because I'm tired.
Yeah.
And there are players seeing me. They go, "Want me to hold a camera?" I'm like, "No, I'm good. I get back to the studio. Audio's good. Video's good. What happened? The camera's shaking. You can see in the new show, the camera's shaking.
Oh, no.
I'm like, no! My arm was so tired from carrying it down down the ramp.
Yeah.
So I got roasted in my review. Like, every great story, but the camera's shaking way too much.
Yeah.
It's still online. You can see the story. My arm is ready to give out. But you're right, though. Like, that's a growing pain you might have. That's, you know, that's our issues. Yeah. It's like, you know, the camera's shaking too much or whatever. But and we learned from that. Like,
they've been making, like, descriptions for videos.
Yeah.
Like, having like the right words to say, or like having the right highlights to talk about, like what is to be said, for example, like that takes a lot of time as well. And then just with uploading, making sure it's all on social media, like it takes time. But I guess like that's what you signed up for, and that's the thing that keeps you going, is your love for doing it as well.
Absolutely,
your love for like sharing these people's stories.
Yeah,
like at the end of the day, like that's why you're in it as well, right?
You know, I think there is part of saying when you share a story, and I'm sure if you're at a place, family, say, "Hey, that was a good piece of my son or my daughter." Because I remember years ago, I did a piece on Mark Mueller, who is a quarterback for Regina. He's the grandson of Ron Lancaster, legendary coach. And at practice one day, Ron Lancaster's daughter came to me and said, "That was a great piece on my son." I'm sure there's been times, you know, a player's family say, "Wow, that's great stuff you guys did in my family member." I'm sure it feels great to have satisfaction from the player, but from a cousin or an aunt or a parent.
I mean, like, for example, on Facebook, I think that's where, like, there's a lot of comments. For example, when the athletes share it and they say, you know, congratulate, like, sometimes they don't even know what's happened until, you know, sometimes we've interviewed them, for example, and we've highlighted that in the descriptions that I talked about. And then that's when their family starts to say, congratulations, like, I didn't know this happened. Or, for example, on Instagram, there's been some athletes' siblings that have, like, re-shared what we've shared.
Wow.
And
there you go.
And then when they do that, it's like, wow, like it's amazing.
Mm-hmm. There was a trainer that we interviewed. I don't remember his name.
Brad McNamara.
Right. Mm. Yeah, Brad. After he retweeted or like posted something on social media, like he's from a small town, and like people from a small town like reminisced about of his story and just commented, and that felt really nice.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So it like kind of further connected him to his town. So
shout out to Pecona, Nova Scotia.
Wow, that's real small town Canada right there. Yeah. That is super small town stuff. So I want to ask you guys. So I know I mentioned Eskimos. Another team I mentioned playing Hamilton now. Do you guys see this team making the playoffs in the Western Division, or will they cross over to the East? That's the big question now. Can they stay in the West, or will they go in the East and play, say, Montreal or Hamilton in the postseason?
I think. I've spoken to people that are like with the team or just fans. I think even though if they don't make it in the West, I think they will cross over. Mm. So I think there's not a worry about that. I mean, like after, I think it was off camera, like Calvin came up to us, Calvin McCarty.
Yes.
And he was like, you know, it doesn't matter if we end up 8-10, as long as we make it to the Grey Cup.
Mm-hmm.
So as long as they make it to the playoffs, whether that's in the East or the West, it doesn't matter.
Right. Yeah. And anything in the whole locker room, a big motivation to get to Calgary and to win it in Calgary, because Calgary came here last year and won it. And I could tell there were some guys who run Eskimos who were just so upset about the fact that the Stampeders were here in their locker room, popping bottles, popping champagne. And Tay was actually working for Chen. He was a reporter for Chen during the Grey Cup week.
Oh.
And even though he was now officially in the media for that Grey Cup week, you could tell that it burned him to see, even though he's a media member that week, the Stampeders there in his locker, chilling for the Grey Cup. That burned those guys a lot last year.
Yeah, I would imagine that felt really bad when like, it's in your like house, and then it's not even. Like,
and your arch rivals are.
Yeah, it's like.
But I think that makes you work even harder, right?
Yeah.
I think, like, if everything was, like, a smooth ride, then you wouldn't work as hard. I think if everything was, like, given to you, or if you won too much, you wouldn't try to... It wouldn't really motivate you as much. But when you see that, for example, I remember when the Blue Jays were hitting home runs, hitting dingers all the time in the playoffs. I remember when they beat the Rangers, when they were celebrating on the field. Yeah. The Rangers sat there and they watched.
Yes.
Because I think I remember, I forgot which player, but they said, we have to watch so we remember this.
Mm-hmm.
So when we make it back, or when we get back to this position, we'll be working even harder.
Exactly.
So I think that draws parallels with the story that you even told, because as I said, if it's too easy, you're not going to work as hard.
No, of course. I know there's a great story that goes back to when Gretzky told when the Oilers won the Cup Finals for the first time, lost to New York, they were swept. I almost whipped them in four games. And the Oilers figured, oh, they went back to the room, they're going to see Islanders celebrating popping bottles. But no, the Islanders were there, just won the cup. They're icing down their wounds. You know, they were in pain. They're sitting down in their locker rooms. They weren't celebrating. But I think to those guys, they learned that, you know what, hey, there's a lot of sacrifice involved in winning a title. You got to give 110% and then 45% more to get to that title. It's not going to be like an easy street to get to that title. You got to sacrifice more than the average person would on top and time to buy 50.
Yeah, I agree. That's like with like most hard things, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just like do what how you can't just do what like you would usually do. You have to do it more. Like, for example, I don't know. Like, for me, I'm studying for the LSAT right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that I know that I'm capable of like to achieve a really good score,
mm-hmm.
but I have to push myself,
of course,
and like I have to make sacrifices. And if I don't make those sacrifices, then I won't make it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
of course. And even sports media, I've done that because I've learned that over the years in Canada, it is so competitive in sports media in this country to get ahead compared to the U.S. where I've looked at media. In jobs in the U.S., you can find, nowhere to lie, guys, 40 or 50 open jobs in America for just sports media.
Wow.
But in Canada, there's only maybe 3 or 4.
Mm-hmm.
And the motivation to compete, just bust your backs and get that level of so much motivation. Because we're a country of 30 million people with only 5 jobs in media and sports. That's tough. That's motivating to try and get ahead. And that's for any job, really. That's not just sports media. That's just if you're a plumber, you'll be the best plumber in the city. If you're a fireman, you'll be the best firefighter in the world. So
mm-hmm.
I think the thing is that, especially with us, or with anybody actually, is that I think you just got to put your head down and just grind.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, like if you just put in the hard work, I think eventually you'll be rewarded. But I think at that time, you can't really think about the rewards. And you just got to think about, am I doing my best here? And am I just working hard? And am I being honest to myself?
Mm-hmm.
Am I doing
yes.
everything in my power to make me succeed in the future? And I think I remember going back to the failing thing. I remember Shaquille O'Neal, how he's on Inside the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I remember on the panel, he was telling the other guys, he was like, somebody told him, before you succeed, you must learn how to fail.
Mm-hmm.
And Michael Jordan told him that. So, like, the best, like, I don't think, well, there can be a debate, but the GOAT of basketball, Michael Jordan, told him that. So I think when it comes from a person like that,
yes.
I think that's how, you know, it makes you feel like, okay, I can probably be there too.
Of course. Yeah, I agree with that. I'll ask you that, guys. That. Do you guys think Michael Jordan's the GOAT? I do.
He's the GOAT.
I do. I've said before to people that, to me personally, in terms of GOAT, greatest of all time is not just an on-field thing. Michael Jordan is a silhouette. Michael, you can go into a store in the middle of Cambodia or wherever, or China, or Dallas, Texas,
mm-hmm.
or Europe. You can see Michael Jordan's dunk silhouette and know it's MJ without seeing a face, without seeing anything else but the Air Jordan silhouette.
Mm-hmm.
Can you say that about Kobe Bryant or LeBron or any other player in which you can see them without their
mm-hmm.
face and know it's them, like
mm-hmm.
Michael Jordan? No. No one else.
I think the thing with that too, especially nowadays, is that I think players are aware that they're brands.
Mm-hmm,
like, they're not just athletes, they're brands now. I mean, like, for example, a simple retweet or like a commercial, like that can cost so much money on social media, and like it shows like what they represent, what they
yes.
believe in. And I think that's why players are careful nowadays with what they say as well, because it can be construed in the sense of like what the media can do, like the bad media, not us type of media. Of course.
No.
But yeah, I think players know that. And I think with Michael, I mean, like, he wasn't a billionaire just because of basketball.
No,
sure, basketball put him there, but I mean, I think this guy worked hard enough for his shoe brand or his clothing brand to get there as well. And like, I don't think he earned $1 billion and then owned a basketball team just through basketball. I think with how he is as a person, not with just basketball, with also a business, is how he got into that brand. And I think with him being so well known, I think that also helps him in that GOAT conversation, because everybody knows who he is.
Exactly. What do you guys feel about athletes now being more business conscious and more socially conscious now? Because I would say like 5-10 years ago, you wouldn't really see athletes being as open about their political stances or their entrepreneurial skills like you are seeing now with like this other guys like the LeBron opening up a school, and other guys taking political stances, or guys being open like a Colin Kaepernick, like you would see now.
I think it's a good and a bad thing. A good thing that, like, as you said, like LeBron James opening up a school, it raises society as a whole, right? Sometimes Colin Kaepernick, that was very controversial,
yes,
obviously, but I'm glad that he stood up for what he stood for, and didn't, like, there was a lot of pressure, like, for example, Trump didn't like that, but I'm glad that he stood up and didn't, like, back down, because I know, like, some celebrities and other people that once they get pressured, they say, oh, sorry, I didn't, like, mean that in that way, but they probably did. They're just mad that, or they're just disappointed that they were called out and such, right? So
the thing with that is that because of, like, who they are and their brands, they know that people will listen to whatever they say. I think that's why Colin did that, was because, I mean, like, with how his stature as a player, and with being in a big city, for example, in San Francisco,
yes,
people were going to listen if he did that. And him being, like, the pioneer of such, like, with that activism, with that debate, I guess, I think that's why he also did it, because he knows that, hey, like, if I do something, people will see. Because I'm in the NFL.
Yes.
I'm a starting quarterback. And with my stature in this league, people are going to see what I do. And that's why he did it. And he's paying for it now, but I don't think he would have regretted where he is right now, actually.
Yeah,
especially with the Nike deal.
Yeah.
I mean, he's pretty good with that,
I think
too.
I think the commercial that Nike made won an award.
I think it did, yes.
Yeah,
it won an award. Yes.
So, yeah, I think it's, like, what he stood for.
And that's out of sports too, right? That's not sports anymore. That's like society. That's
absolutely
That's like human rights. Like that's like what's happening right now. So that's more than just athletes. I mean, I remember when LeBron or other basketball players were speaking on, I forgot what issue it was, but there was a reporter. She said, like, shut up and dribble.
Yeah, Laura Ingraham from Fox Propaganda.
But I think they knew, like, hey, like, we can do something about, like, we can raise awareness. We're not even raise awareness, but we can stand up for what we believe in.
Yeah.
And then that's what gets the conversation going. Because if you don't talk about something in the first place and people just ignore it, then that's how things just get swept under the rug. And that's how people get hurt, I guess.
Exactly. And to many conservative minds, like, your site, they wouldn't want that, because they don't want athletes talking about anything beyond, you know, oh, I dropped 25 points, I had 6 sacks, to a narrow-minded person. They don't want that stuff. Just show up and dribble. Like, your site is what they don't want. They don't want to get athletes to speak their mind or anything up beyond on the court or on the field or on the ice.
Yeah, I guess it depends on who you are. Like, for example, your viewers right now, they are listening about, they want to listen about, like, sports talk and not, like, about, like, I don't know, fashion or something. So I guess it depends who it is. But, yeah, some people are very close-minded and very, like, they don't think long-term.
No.
They just want to, like, be entertained, like, in the moment, I guess.
Exactly.
So, but, yeah, I agree that people should think more openly.
Of course.
And, yeah.
There's two sides to the story to that, of course. Of course, yes, people can be more open, but I think anybody can be more open. Like, I think like nobody's perfect. Yeah. And with the stuff that we have, like, based on what we've done already, I think we've been having this type of theme that people, I mean, just today, I was just at the gym and then somebody came up to me and they were like, hey man, like, I really like your interviews.
Oh, is that true?
Yeah.
Oh,
that's awesome. There you go.
Why would I lie about that?
No, there you go. You're getting that fame now,
man. You know, like, they come up to you and you don't know. I mean, like, you believe in what you're doing.
Of course.
But when people come up to you, like, you know, that person thought about coming up to me. They thought about, like, hey, is it worth coming up to this guy and saying what I want to say? Like, he thought about it. He put in the energy to walk over to me and say it. And you appreciate that, you know?
Yeah, you absolutely do.
Nobody did that in my job.
Wow. Only Rod could get the attention. Yeah. Oh, that's become more before you guys wrap things up. I do want to ask you guys now, the breaking news that came down earlier, Antonio Brown was released from the New England Patriots. What have been your thoughts on just the passing months of him from getting traded, well, first to Buffalo, then to Oakland, and then the whole story of him leaving the Raiders, going to the Patriots now after one game, he's now no longer a Patriot anymore.
I think the big thing with the Patriots, why they did that was, for example, Aaron Hernandez, what happened with that in the past.
Yes.
I don't think they wanted that distraction. I mean, like, they're the champs, right? I think Antonio, it makes them better, but like, how much better, in the sense that they have to deal with these distractions. So I think that's why they had the pros and the cons of releasing him, and that's why they decided to do it. As well, with that money, I also read that it wasn't fully guaranteed because it was a clause.
Yes.
In the sense of some background clause anyways, and that's why they were able to do that as well in terms of fiscally. So I think in terms of the distractions and how they are the best right now, I think it was a right choice for them.
I agree with them.
Yeah, with like allegations, like I'm trying to think about how I should say this allegation. Like, I don't know how like the NFL works, like contracts and stuff and like signing players, but I think the Patriots did the right thing in what's it called, like
in releasing him.
Yeah, him, because like, now you can focus on your game, and then after releasing him, you can now investigate what happened and stuff. And then if the allegations are true, then he's out anyway. But if they're false, you know, you could sign him again possibly. So I think that they did the right thing.
With the players in the room, for example, I think I think people have, of course, everybody has family.
Of course.
With what he did, it's like, would I want to play for this guy? Mm-hmm. With like what's been said, like if it is true, or like, should I be like blocking for this guy, for example?
Yeah.
Or should I be putting in my effort for us to win, or for him to like get open for this guy who's been accused of these things? And of course, innocent until proven guilty. But I think with the Patriots, with these distractions, I think they did it now, in the sense that we can just move forward, because there's still so much of the season left. I mean, it's like week 3 now, right? So there's so much of the season left that they can just move past it and know that, hey, we're still the champs, and like, let's just move on, and let's see how the year goes.
And my thing with this is Bill Belichick, he faced the media, and after reporters asked him about Antonio Brown, he said, can you get those football questions?
Yeah.
Now, to me, you're one of the big guys who signed Antonio Brown. You don't get to deflect, and you don't get to be the guy that decides when I talk about Antonio Brown. You signed him, you released him, knowing what he was bringing in, all the baggage, all the headaches. To me, be a man, face the music, because this is on you. You were one of the key cogs in bringing him in. You should face all the music, knowing what's gone through in his life right now. You should know that. Be better than that.
Yeah, I guess, like, because I don't know if he has a PR team, but I don't know if he was ready to answer that. Like, I didn't watch it, but maybe, like, he wasn't ready at that moment to answer answer something so serious. Hmm. So I think that he deflected on the basis that he, like, if he talked about it, it could be construed in a certain way. So he wanted a proper answer, maybe in a, like, a post or something. Yeah.
Because I think with that, for example, it was, like, before the Patriots, it was about his helmet.
Yes.
If he, like, practices, him skipping practices. But I think when it gets to this parameter of this problem of sexual assault.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's more than just a helmet, for example. And with multiple allegations, yes, like he should man up, and maybe he should man up and respond to these questions. But I think, for example, sexual assault to gear, I think they're two different things. And I think that's why he didn't want to talk about it, because anything that he could have said, for example, could have been taken out of context and exploded in the media. So I think for him, it was just best to not say anything. And hey, I think releasing him says something.
No, it does, because usually the Patriots, they were a team that was known for taking on all these guys who had the so-called baggage. Guys like the Corey Dillon, Josh Gordon, Chad Ochocinco, guys who, you know, have baggage guys. But the fact that Patriots said it's too much for us, that's me surprising. But personally, they shouldn't have traded for him, but it did happen. So I do want to ask, before we let go, before we sign off, I want to ask you guys, what is next for the peoplesport.com? What is cooking up next in the grill? What's in the grill next? What's, you know, being marinated for next story coming soon?
Well, we have to interview you, right?
Oh, yeah. I'd be down.
Yeah.
Want to profile me?
I decline.
Wow. Like the first time I went into the media room and then I saw you, I was like, oh, this guy has style. Sorry, I'm very like fidgety.
No way.
Yeah, I'm like, wow, this Avery guy really has like style, and he's like really unique. I like uniqueness.
Thank you.
So you're really unique in the media room.
And I told Dylan it's just a top hat. This guy just pushed me.
This guy, everybody can know the press box. Because here's the thing. Some of you don't know in the press box. It's a running joke. Guys like Jerry Monajong and stuff like that, and Kieran Carius, like, just smack me in the back of the head or pull my ear. So Rodney started doing it too.
Oh, that slap. That slap was all me. Those other guys, they might elbow you in the gut, like push you, but that slap in the back of the head, that's all me. That's me. You'll get one later. When we get into that press box.
Oh gosh.
But there are things happening. There are things that I don't want to share.
No, we don't. Okay.
Maybe off recording. Okay. It's a time to be excited for the people's sports.
That's good. Get excited, gang. Anyways, Rodney, Dylan, guys, so much for doing the podcast. I appreciate you guys doing it again sometime.
Follow the people's sports.
Yeah.
We're at the people's sports on Facebook, Instagram, and at people of sport on Twitter. And we also have a YouTube channel if you want to skip that 5 seconds every 5 seconds. And we also have, of course, our website. And we have people, as Avery mentioned, Fernando Pisani, Gene Principe, Jason Gregor. Even our first one ever was Dylan Dubé of the Flames.
Yes, Calgary Flames.
He's trying to make the team right now. So check us out. And
you can now follow us on our personal accounts too.
Maybe Dylan, but we appreciate all the support. And we thank you so much for listening.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.